You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good team?
All right, open phone lines for the next 15 minutes. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle. 710sports.com. We do have a couple lines open, actually, if you want to jump aboard and be a part of it. We had a couple calls drop, so if you want to jump in here, any comments, any subject, you name it. This fun thing here is we do always get these conversations like, oh, Salk, you always talk about this. You never talk about that. I want to hear about this. And that's why we always try to it's like office hours for your professor in college or something. Like, here's your chance. Stop by and talk about what it is. This is your chance to control it a little bit. 9 o'clock on Friday morning. So let's jump right in. 206-421-3776. We'll start with Bill, who's in Linwood. What's up, Billy?
Hey, happy Friday to you, Mike.
You got it.
Hey, I just want to try to convince you about the Rams versus the Bucks.
Okay.
Now, I just want to tell you, just my opinion, I've watched both these teams very, very closely the whole season. Okay, so four factors. Number one, the Rams already beat them in week four by 10 points. And Sean McVay is just genius. He's going to really, really out-coach Bruce Arians, I think.
I know.
And Cooper Kupp is going to be almost impossible to cover. He's going to get open. And then I really think that the Rams' defensive line, they might not get a lot of sacks, but they're going to pressure Tom Brady.
I agree with all of that. Bill, I agree with every single thing you said, but one of those teams has Tom Brady and the other has Matt Stafford, and I can't bring my – I have it written down. I promise. If you looked at my show sheet and what I wrote in an email to Moore and Justin last night, I picked the Rams. But I couldn't do it. When push came to shove, I couldn't say out loud Matthew Stafford beats Tom Brady. It's too much. Couldn't do it. Sorry. I everything you just said is true. But one team has Tom Brady, the other has Matt Stafford. Who are you gonna pick? Come on. Who are you gonna pick? The same way I couldn't pick against Belichick last week. I get it. It ended up being wrong, but I'd rather go down with that ship. Sorry.
I did go with Stafford for this game.
I know, I'll go down with the GOAT over Matt Stafford. Sorry.
Fair.
Just how I feel. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Greg, who's in Redmond. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
What's up, man?
Glad you're back, by the way.
Me too.
I'm gonna bust you a little bit here, man.
All right, let's go.
Your anti-Josh Allen thing, you need to get over this. He just sliced and diced probably the greatest defensive mind of all time.
I know, but I didn't watch, Greg. I was at the Kraken game. I didn't see it, so it didn't happen.
Yeah, but you see the figures. The guy had more touchdowns than incompletions. And since the Bucks game, he's been the best quarterback in the NFL. He put the Bills on his back in that second half of that Bucks game. He's second in the league in rushing quarterbacks, only behind Jalen Hurts. He's one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL now. No question about it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't want you to be right. Is that okay?
That's okay. But, I mean, that guy, he's got a rocket arm. He's a phenomenal athlete.
All of those things have always been true about him. What I'm impressed with, honestly, and this is the thing that surprises me, is when I think about quarterbacks, what do I want them to be? I want them to show great decision-making and have great accuracy, and then they got to have the leadership. And now I've kind of added their ability to move and run and be athletic to that equation. And Josh Allen's got most of those things. Certainly his teammates seem to love him. He's got the leadership. He's got, obviously, the ability to run and run through people even, which is great. It's the decision-making and, more importantly, the accuracy that I've always questioned, and it wasn't good at the beginning of his career. It's gotten better. Like, that doesn't usually happen. I got to give the guy credit and tip my hat. The accuracy's gotten better. When they got Stephon Diggs, I just assumed he'd be throwing the ball 20 feet over his head every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured Diggs, if he didn't like it in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, how is he going to feel about this kid? And I was wrong. He's managed to rein in the accuracy and kind of use the arm and control it rather than just using it as a howitzer and winging it all over the place. So Yeah, we'll see. I'll still see. We'll see what happens in a big game against the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes on the other side. It's one thing against a rookie quarterback at home. Let's see you do it on the road in Kansas City against a team that's been to the last two Super Bowls. He does that, I'm going to have to shut up pretty much for good on that one. 206-421-3776. Grab Brandon, who's Phoenix. Always love talking to him. What's up, man?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, dude?
Hey, I just wanted to say that I don't think you get enough credit for calling out Bruce Arians and what a joke show of a human being he really is.
Well, that's true. Thank you, Brandon. I don't get enough credit at all. You can just stop there. Right? There's no reason to say it's specific to Bruce.
I think you and I are the only two that that believe that.
Why do you think he's a clown?
Just the excuses and the weird accent and just the, he's just a joke. I used to ask my Cardinal fan friends if Bruce Arians threw out his back throwing his players under the bus after every loss.
It is amazing. And yet, you know, guys choose to play for him. Brady could have gone anywhere. I was completely shocked when literally the greatest quarterback and maybe the greatest professional sports player we've ever seen had this choice of going anywhere he wanted, decided to go play for Bruce Arians. It was It completely blew my mind. And obviously it worked out to the tune of a Super Bowl last year. We'll see what happens this year. I don't know how much Bruce had to do with that, but it's worked out. I've often said that was like Brady tying a hand behind his back. Like, all right, watch what I can do. You think that I don't need Belichick? You think I need Belichick? I'm going to do it with the worst coach in the NFL. I'm going to win with this guy. But I don't know. It seems to have worked.
You're too much.
Am I? All right, open lines. Come on, people. 206-421-3776. What else you got? So far, we've been all football, which is fine. Happy to talk football, but, you know, mind a little baseball call now and again. Last week, I got reprimanded for a crack and take, and since then, they've won a couple of games. So where are you guys at? 206-421-3776. Let's grab Nikolai, who's in Mukilteo. What's up, man?
Hey, buddy. Yeah, the guy was right. You guys don't get enough credit. You guys do such a great job.
That's true. So true.
Honestly.
Nikolai, this is great. Thank you. That's so nice. It's very affirming here on a Friday morning.
And I agree. I think that Bruce Arians is eating the cake from Tom Brady. I think Tom's going to go crazy this weekend. Psycho Tom is what we got Skip Bayless is calling it.
He's calling him Psycho Tom?
He's going to take it personal this week from the comments from Aaron Donald about what he said, that he, you know, it's all about what happens this year. It's not about the past. What do you think about this game?
I think Brady finds a way to take everything personally. I agree with that. I mean, he's one of the greats. I think he learned it from players like Lawyer Malloy and Rodney Harrison and how to internalize all that stuff. He won't say it out loud beforehand. He's not a trash talker ahead of time. But, you know, I've seen what happens when players around the league talk trash about Brady's team. He takes it personally. And I forget the kid's name in Pittsburgh. He was a safety. He was a nobody. He talked trash about the Patriots. And they just destroyed him and picked on him, like specifically tried to embarrass him for 60 minutes. So, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all if Brady goes completely crazy on all that. Aaron's in Vancouver, Washington. What's up, Aaron?
Mike Salk and the team, hey, just want to say I haven't had a chance yet, but I look forward to your show every day.
Thanks, man. That's so nice. We really appreciate that.
Okay, so your comment on the podcast, just finished listening, the Cincinnati Bengals actually winning a title, and I mean, I've been following from a very, very far distance the Bengals, I don't know why, for a long time. I am intrigued by Joe Burrow, but the fact of them actually winning a title just seems crazy. And then It got me thinking, in Seattle, do we actually have in our hearts, do we like clamor for a title? I don't care what team it is. I mean, even the Kraken. Are we that passionate like cities in New York, Boston, You name it?
What do you think? Your own question.
Well, I don't know. I've been out of the city for a while. I loved Mitch Haniger's interview the other day, and I kind of felt like, okay, can we all be like Mitch Haniger? Because I've been following the Mariners since Kingdom days, and don't even get me started. You know, I mean, yes, the Seahawks are in a funk. I don't even know what to call it, but I want to have a heart like Mitch Haniger.
It's a good point. Now, look, Philadelphia has that kind of passion, and they haven't won a whole bunch of titles in our lifetime. Right. I mean, like, it's not like Philadelphia has been a dominant sports city. Maybe they want it too much at times and it becomes a pressure cooker. People said that about Boston and New York at different times for in different sports. Like, it's too much of a pressure cooker. It does present some of its own challenges where you've got to find the exact right match to work in a city like that. Does Seattle want it enough? I'll tell you what, man. I was there for that final weekend of Mariner baseball. It sure seemed like people wanted it. They may not express it the same way by calling sports radio and being furious and ranting and raving, but I think people here want it pretty bad. I certainly saw it that weekend. At the moment there was an opportunity for it to turn into something, people were there at the ballpark. They want to be it. Nobody wants to miss that show, miss that moment where the Mariners turn it around. 206-421-3776. Let's see. I got two or three left here. Let me grab Joseph, who is in Tacoma. What's up, man?
What's up, Salk?
Hey.
I don't do anything with Apple, unfortunately, so I can't leave a review. But small piece of advice to maybe increase your overall rating, just simply put Maura on more often because, you know, she's awesome.
Well, Maura's here. What do you mean put her on more
I
often? She's here every day.
I did not ask him
to call, by the way. Maura, is there a reason there's a little star next to Joseph's name? What's the deal with that? You just put a little star next to his name, like make sure you take this call next?
And also, you guys' yes. little bit the other day with the, what is it, the voicemail from Godot's office.
You like that?
That was hilarious.
All right, well, Joseph, here's the thing. Maura did all of that. She did a great job with the voicemails.
That.
Yes, of course. She wrote it, directed it, produced it. She did all of that. She did a great job. And better news for you, we are planning to look into those voicemails weekly. Is that we're hoping to Wednesday at 7:30, assuming we can find
if an
enough
opportunity
access
presents itself. Yeah.
Right. We will.
I would recommend that.
Yes.
That was hilarious. Especially the last one. I don't know if that salt guy that called in. Great call.
All right. There you go. Pretty good. Thanks, Joseph.
Roger Goodell.
Appreciate the phone call. There you go. Wow. He's a big Maura fan. How about that?
Wow. I'm just going to go.
But I like how he's like, I like the voicemails. Didn't mention Justin at all.
No, of course not. I love Maura and the voicemails. Yes.
I'm fine with being a dark, shadowy figure.
That's kind of how I think of you. I saw somebody last night. He's like, hey, man, really like the new show. I was like, oh, thanks. That's really great. He's like, love that Montana boy.
Hey, was he a Team 406er?
No, he was north of Seattle, he said. Okay. He lived up north. He was like, yeah, he represents us hillbillies.
Well,
I'm not.
Someone else texted in yesterday that they liked Maura and Bangle. So, you just don't have a name.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose not to take offense to any of this.
Yeah, why should you?
They're all compliments.
Well, they said they liked you. We just don't.
You're just some FM.
I mean, some people don't think
hillbillies. Yesterday could have been a big day for you. Yesterday was National DJ Day. Did you know that? It was National Disc Jockey Day.
Yeah, I used to get that a lot. It's like, oh, hey, will you DJ my wedding? And I'm like, dude, I'm not like a wiki
DJ.
It
was National Disc Jockey Day. Not DJ like wiki. It was like legitimate National Disc Jockey Day, and you used to have that role.
Yeah, I did that for a long time.
And? Just,
I mean, I...
Can you hit the post?
Oh, that was the best at hitting posts.
Can you? Were you really good at it?
We should see if
you can
do
one. You want to do a contest one day? I've never gotten to do it live.
Oh, we should do that.
I would love to. That's like, I would love to try my hand at that. Like in my old age here, I've learned golf and skiing, and I've been trying to take ice skating lessons and stuff to get better. But I would love to practice hitting
a
post.
Yes, I would love to try that
do it live on the
you.
Radio. Yep. I would love it. Like, because you get a little countdown, right?
Yep.
Oh, that would be like a dream.
So for people don't know.
You guys are radio nerding out now.
Yeah,
no
totally.
One knows what you're talking about.
That's when
you're talking up the intro of a song until the lyrics start.
Right. So like, okay, here it is. 5 o'clock coming out your way. We got the, right. And you're trying to like hit that big moment.
If it's 1983, I guess. Maybe.
That's the last time I listened to FM radio and somebody trying to hit a post. I guess we're done. Oh, we got one real quick. I'll grab Chris in Port Ludlow. Chris, you get the last word. What's up, man?
Yeah, I already bought my airplane tickets for spring training. Am I an idiot?
I hope they're on Alaska so that you can use them some other point if this thing gets canceled. Those better be Alaska Airlines tickets, Chris.
No.
Then you're in trouble. That was on you. You got to buy those things on Alaska so that you can cancel it or postpone them. Alaska will let you do that. I don't know, man. I think you'll be okay, but I wouldn't have bought those non-refundables. Not the way this thing's going. Not when any two groups of people can't stand each other the way that the players and the owners do. Look, I'm not saying we're going to miss the season, but if you're planning to be there at the very beginning of spring training, I'd be pretty worried.
Worst case scenario, you're in Arizona and there's a lot of golf courses around you.
Thanks, hillbilly guy. Time for Need to Know.
Hillbilly.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
What a love fest today. People saying such nice things. A little love fest.
Reminds me of Wedding Crashers. Hillbilly.
I'm going to need to bring all these people out with me in the golf course later today. Just to, like, say nice things after my, nice shank right into the woods. Salk, you're doing a great job. Really appreciate you. You're like a wart. You're great.
hey, is that the dad I never had over there?
Yes.
Just hit the one in the trees?
He just duffed another five iron. All right, let's give you three things you need to know, starting with the Seahawks. One kind of oddity about the start of this offseason has been the upcoming changes to the defense, despite the offense really being the more underwhelming unit this past year. They finished it 11th in points given up per game. Not bad for the defense, but the offense 16th in points scored. So why all the focus on the D? Well, a couple of reasons. One, they made their coaching change offensively last year, and it obviously took some time for that unit to coalesce. Shane Waldron, a first-time play caller, stuck between a coach and a quarterback, maybe not 100% on the same page. And I think by the end of the year, it seemed he was able to get his feet under him. Also, Russ' injury just seemed to zap them of their strength, and the running back situation took so long to normalize with the injuries there. Even the offensive line didn't get it together till the end of the year. So I would say while it may not require the same attention as the defense, there are decisions to be made offensively. I would re-sign Penny. I don't know if I'd bring back Chris Carson. I would look for a reliable back to pair, though, with Penny, somebody who you think can really step up into his place. Obviously, they need an upgrade at center, maybe another offensive lineman. And while I'd be okay bringing back Gerald Everett, I'd look elsewhere. I'm certainly open to the other players in the tight end market, Mike Gesicki, David Njoku, etc. So I think that there are solutions offensively. I just don't know if they're as complex as you would need on the defense.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, it is the best weekend of NFL games every year. Divisional round Saturday and Sunday. Our last weekend with four games, but without some of the expected blowouts that can come with the wild card round. So, best game of the weekend should be Bills-Chiefs. Kansas City trying to make a third straight Super Bowl. Josh Allen trying to show he can win a huge game. Where do the Seahawks fans land on Niners and Packers? Yeah, pick them. Oddly, San Francisco has had Green Bay's number, so we'll see if that can continue. A beat-up Jimmy Garoppolo will play with wind chill conditions below zero at Lambeau. Rams and Bucks might be worse for me to pick. Yeah, we should all be rooting for Tampa to take out the NFC West, make the Rams all-in approach look like a bust, but obviously rooting for Arians is not going to be any fun for me. And then, yes, there is one more game. Tennessee wound up with a bye despite starting Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. Lots of folks predicting an upset here, as obviously Cincinnati's offense has been really humming recently. Looks like Derrick Henry may return for the Titans. We'll get official word on that today. I like the Titans in that one. How about some good news? At least if scheduling a meeting can count as good news, but I do feel that way about reports that the players will meet with the Major League Baseball owners on Monday. Players expected to bring their counterproposal to that meeting, and unlike last week, the two sides will meet in person this time. Hopefully that makes it more conducive to some friendly vibes. John Morosi says this is a big one.
This next counter from the players is going to be pivotal, and according to reports, we're expecting that to happen early part of next week on Monday. And so we will see how closely this next offer comes into the direction of MLB. And I would caution everybody that if it does not resemble a lot of progress, to not despair. These things do take time.
We won't despair. I know they take time. But, yeah, you'd sure like to see some positive momentum. It's one of those stories where it's hard not to think with your heart, right? All I want is for them to just work something out in time so that we can get started with this season. But the issues they have to work through are complex. They're important. And the two sides really are far apart. So we'll see what happens. I should also say the excitement about this season starting is at least predicated on the rest of this offseason happening first. So biggest loss of this offseason has been not seeing what the Mariners do with something that should be as important as any moment they've ever had. Excuse me. Other baseball news. The league has officially rejected the Rays' plan to split time between Tampa and Montreal. They'll now look to find a new home in the Tampa area before considering other cities, Nashville and Vegas, both believed to be top markets that baseball would like to try. And it sounds like AAA ball will go to robot umps next year.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Hey, how about a win streak for your Seattle Kraken? They take care of San Jose last night, 3-2. Got down a goal just 38 seconds into the game. You had to wonder if they were going to just lay down. But instead, they were inspired. One of their better performances of the year. A couple goals from Carson Soucy. And then it was Cale Yarncroak with the decisive one.
A tip high off the glass by Yarncroak. Yarncroak scores! Set up beautifully by Morgan Geekie.
Yeah, it was a nice goal. Best part of the night was a pretty good bout between the captain, Mark Giordano, and Adam Raska. They were throwing some punches. Good to see a Kraken player stepping up to help his teammate and taking matters into his own hands. As for the NBA, kind of weird. What's going on with the Warriors? They fall again, this time in overtime to Indiana. Despite getting 30 from Steph, they've lost 6 of their last 9. Phoenix takes care of Dallas, New Orleans over the Knicks. That is everything you need to know. Every hour, quarter past the hour.
How real is a robot ump thing? I saw that they're testing it. Do you think it's actually going to be happening in
the
year?
No, I think Buster reported this morning it's happening. Like, they're gonna give it a shot in AAA. See what goes.
Wow.
I know, I hate it.
I know you would, but I'm curious to see
you
what
would.
It does to speed things up more than anything. That's what. That's
why would it speed things up?
I don't know. I just want to see if it will.
Does it take baseball umpires a long time to decide ball or strike?
No, but it takes a lot of the maybe thinking about how you're going to throw to that umpire's zone a little bit differently, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, I guess. I don't know about speed. I don't know.
I'm really interested to see how it goes. I could also end up hating it, but I'm very curious at least to see.
Is it
going to
be like, you know, George Jetson's robot back there, like with a head and all that?
No, there's still going to be a real umpire. Still got to call safer.
I imagine like an old square 80s looking robot with like a trapezoidal head, something like that, made out of metal, made out of like aluminum. Looks like one of the, like the metal you use in a vent in your house, right? Like the ducts.
Like the old 60s robot in the movie?
Like the Jetsons, essentially. Was it Rosie? Is that her name?
Rosie the robot?
Isn't that her name? Rosie the robot in the Jetsons?
Yeah.
That's kind of who I'm imagining back there.
I remember that from when we ranked robots.
Right, we did rank robots. That's true.
Speaking of, Justin and I came up with an idea while you were doing
ranked?
Yeah.
Because we open the phone lines and kind of make it a caller potpourri on Fridays,
yes,
we were thinking that we should take ranked nominations as well.
Oh, see if you guys have... All right, so we have a couple ideas for ranked for today, but we've got about 15, 20 minutes before we have to officially rank things. Is there anything you would like to hear the top five from? Is that what you're saying? Let's see if people have a suggestion. All right, the text line is 206-421-3776. That's Mac and Jack's text line. They've got to be appropriate. We're not going to go rank things that are inappropriate. You're not going to get us in trouble here. but if you would like us to attempt to rank something that you've been thinking about, that's a great idea. I love that. 206-421-3776. Send us a text. And if we see anything good, we will rank it. Otherwise, we've got a pretty good idea up our sleeve. So do that quickly or else, you know, we won't have enough time to come up with a good ranking. Brock Heward joins me next. Ranked after that. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Heward is my hero.
What Brock Heward says?
No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Is this Haley Heward's dad I'm talking to?
Well, good morning, Michael. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It was a pretty fun night.
How good was she last night?
Pretty fun night, man.
Draining three. Hit her first 5 threes for Montana, the Lady Grizz.
Lady Grizz.
And a big win, a breakout performance for Haley.
Lady Grizz.
18 points.
Go Lady Grizz.
I mean, go Haley Heward.
Pretty fun, man.
So were you guys all watching? So when that happens, are like, is the whole family watching, all 4 of you watching her at
home?
Well,
a little different night last night. Oh, okay. I had to drop Titus off at coach's house. He has late baseball this year, 7:30 to 9:30 in the bubble. So had to drop him off so I could get home. The nice thing is the Big Sky, kudos to them, partnered with ESPN Plus. So every game I can watch on my TV.
It's awesome.
Yeah, just go to Xfinity and just plug it in there and got it right there, the app. So it's like watching the game right on TV. And so I'm home. Molly flew out there yesterday morning.
Oh, nice.
Little girls weekend.
So Haley did all that in front of mom?
In front of mom.
Oh, wow. That kind of breaks my theory that getting away from you and Molly has been really great for Haley.
It's been great for her. She's just doing awesome. She's blossoming. And then, you know, Macy's got a chem test. She's running around. I'm on the couch. You know, I'm going crazy. I'm pausing it. Macy, come here! So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty neat stuff.
You once referred to me as being sort of like a virus. I thought you would like this review I got on Apple Podcasts. It says, I can't stand Salk, but I have to listen. He's like that wart that I constantly pick at, but he gets all my attention.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
That's pretty good.
Here I am. I'm like a wart.
That's what you want to be in radio, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what the great Rick Scott told us a decade ago? You got to have your roles.
Is that his real name?
Got to develop. I don't know. Walter, right. William, whatever. you got to have your roles, your characters, and you got to stay steady and consistent
I'm like a wart that you just can't wait to pick at. Yeah, you can go to Apple Podcasts, though, and download the podcast. Hey, every day, subscribe to listen to your favorite warts.
Can I just say this lastly about, you know, we'll get to the NFL and whatever other directions you want to get. I did, and I tweeted this last night. It came to, and it's come to my feeling, and I don't know, maybe just because she's not under our roof anymore. You do, and I know that there's going to be parents, and you're getting down this road, right? You've got a daughter that's in drama, another one's soccer player, one's a golfer.
It's not even 8 o'clock. I don't want to cry yet.
Okay, but no, you're going to get here where you realize, like, man, you just ride the roller coaster, right? And when you were playing and competing, and even watching Molly in college, when she was playing and competing, it was still like tunnel vision, blinders. You're just playing, right? You're just going to grind, just going to get through it, right? All these players that we talk to, coaches that you talk to, all this stuff that we do. But as a parent, man, you are just on the roller coaster ride through the ups and the downs, and the ups and the downs. And as I am getting older, I mean, I appreciate last night way more than I ever would have 10 years ago.
I will tell you a funny story about that off the air. But okay. It's not worth it. Everyone else doesn't need to hear this story. It's not that good a story, but you will laugh about it.
Oh, good.
All right. Let's see. Let's talk a moment of Seahawks, and then hopefully we can quickly get to the games this weekend. How much attention? We've been talking a lot about the defense, obviously, with the coordinator, et cetera. How much attention legitimately needs to be paid to the offense this offseason? Obviously, they were the worst unit, and yet it feels like they're closer to being ready to go.
Well, that's because Rashad Penny exploded at the end of the year. The offensive line found themselves. Now, the O-line, Mike's got three pieces that are free agents. So I don't think Brandon Schell, I think Kurhan did as good a job, if not better, than Schell near the end of the year. So I don't know if that's a move you have to make. Posick certainly found himself. And then obviously Dwayne Brown is a guy that you've gone back and forth with. And I would still like Dwayne here. I think Andrew Whitworth is 3 or 4 years older and still shows you how important that experience is there. So, you know, I think figuring that out, I think I saw Jake Heaps respond to your 5-point plan and said, hey, you know, we need at least 1 point on offense. You need at least a few things going in that direction.
And I didn't disagree, by the way. I just made a 5-point plan to fix the defense. So you didn't need to put the offensive line on that list.
I think the most important point on offense is what Ethan Posick said in the locker room the day after the season ended. That might be the most single.
Show up at OTAs.
You know, maybe at the start of lifting and conditioning, you know, in the second week of April, which, by the way, Peyton Manning didn't miss one workout in his entire career.
That's why he's my favorite player of all time.
Yes. Yeah, right. That's why you love the Manning cast so much.
So good.
But and guess who else was there? Edrin and Marvin, and those guys all had to come along. Why? Because Peyton's there.
Yeah.
Peyton could have said, I'm good. I don't need to. I'll see you at training camp, or I'll come to the mandatory camp, as Russell did last year. That can't happen this year. That can't happen. And that group, and Posick said it. Not me.
Yep.
Not you. Not any of us, hey, you got to practice. Coach is saying, I'm going to practice. So important.
I'm going to be so insufferable with this come May.
Yes.
I'm just going to be obnoxious.
Then maybe we should have practiced.
Maybe we should have been here.
Maybe a new system, new language, new verbiage. Maybe we should have practiced. Maybe we should have played in the preseason.
All right, we only have a minute, Brock. Okay. We got to get to the slate of games this weekend. What game do you feel most secure in the outcome? What game is the biggest toss-up?
Oh, I think I feel most secure with Green Bay beating San Francisco in this round at home, in that just weather, and Jimmy Garoppolo's got a hurt shoulder, he's got a hurt thumb, he's got a hurt ego, and, you know, Bosa's coming off a concussion, they're just beat up. It feels like that was a great win out on the road in Dallas last week, but I don't think you gird your loins and get totally healthy. I think it'll be competitive, and they can rush four, and if they rush four and impact Aaron, it could be a game, but that would be the one I'd feel the most secure at night in Green Bay in this round picking the Packers.
Agreed. How about the least secure? What could go any direction?
Kansas City, Buffalo.
Right.
And that's going to be awesome. That's going to be bonkers. I mean, that is going to be so much fun to watch those two at the QB position go at it, but there's so many good players, talented players in Buffalo, and man, can you imagine if they can do this and get this done and win this game? Tennessee's intriguing. I mean, all four of these, come on. after last weekend. Yeah. Let, just give
us good games.
Just even three. Right. Even two of well, no, give me three. Give me three compelling games going to the fourth quarter.
Give me three great games, and obviously Tennessee will blow out Cincinnati, and we'll be good to go.
I don't know about that now. I don't know.
I don't either, but I'm just giving Justin a hard time.
Burrow's pretty good.
I know you can't see colors because of your color blindness, but the Bengals do have the ugliest uniforms in sports, right? We can agree on that.
Wyoming football?
Oh, those are kind of like cool and ugly, though. Like the Wyoming football. Yeah, I do. I kind of like them in their, like the yellow and brown thing. Oh. I kind of like that, actually. I give them some credit. Like, it's ugly on purpose, and I can kind of, that's sort of how I view myself. So, it kind of works out.
Oh, you're kind of a wart.
It's me. A big, ugly wart. Hopefully not one of those planter's warts. You ever had a planter's wart?
Disgusting. I think so.
Yeah. They grow roots inside your foot. Ooh. Grossest thing you've ever seen, man. Don't get one of those if you can avoid it.
All right, we're out of time.
Here you go. There's Brock Heward, who joins us every day, 7:45 and at 9:30. So is that what we're doing for rank today? Warts ranked? You've got your planner's wart.
Yeah.
You've got wart from the Sword in the Stone.
That's the word. I just can't do it.
You don't want it. You got warty hogs. Nope. Let's see. We could go for a while.
Warty?
Yeah, aren't they warty hogs? Isn't that a thing?
Warthogs.
Oh, warthogs. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Warty
there's something else, though. There's a warty something, a warty... There's an animal called the warty something. Look that up. W-R-T-Y something. I forget what it is.
Warty frogfish?
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was like one beginning of a word off. I mean, like hog, frog. All right. Warthogs would certainly be on the list.
Do not Google the warty frogfish.
Really?
No.
It's not good looking? Ugh. It's not one of the better looking fish out there? All right, we do have some breaking news, it sounds like, here. Jeremy Fowler says, source, Titans, Derrick Henry expected to start versus Cincinnati.
Uh-oh.
Well, Trey Henderson's back, too, though, for the Bengals.
Who?
Yeah.
Who's that? The guy didn't make a difference, does he? Not Derrick Henry. He's not King Henry. All right, well, we reached out to you guys today. Thank you. Fridays, not only did you come up with some great phone calls for open lines at 9 o'clock, but... great idea from Maura and Justin back there to have you guys also suggest some ranked possibilities, and we have gone with you. We have gone with one of yours. We've got five. We probably could have put 35 on this list, so I'm sure that there will be some controversy following today's version of Ranked, but it is coming up next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, we put Ranked in your hands today for a suggestion of what you wanted to hear ranked. And you guys had a lot of good ones. We took notes. We marked some of these down for later. But the winner for today was fictional coaches ranked. Coaches from movies or TV shows ranked.
There were so many more than I even realized.
Oh, my God. There's a million of them. So some that we had to discount. Now, this pained me, right? Obviously, I wasn't putting any Tom Hanks in there. So A Few Good Men doesn't, or not A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men.
Yeah, sorry.
A League of Their Own.
Remember when I couldn't think of the name A Few Good Men last week? Now it's here instead of A League of Their Own. Good job, Mike.
He didn't make the list because of your hatred for Tom Hanks.
Also, he's really bad in that movie.
Wow.
Go watch it again. It's so overacted. It's ridiculous.
I watch it every year, but okay.
It was painful for me to leave this off. It's one of my, one of my favorite movies of all time. It's probably the movie I've seen second most of all movies.
Wildcats.
Goldie Hawn.
The ebony lover. I validate the theory when I'm under the cover.
Useless working. Better than diamond rings.
That was a good Wesley Snipes rap right there.
You got you left out the best part.
Yeah, sorry.
It's just this.
Football. There she is. Good job, Goldie Hawn. Goldie Hawn is Molly McGrath. I couldn't put her on the list as much as I wanted to.
Okay.
But here you go. There's number five. And I think that he could be higher. It's just still kind of new, I think. But he's so tremendous.
I believe in hope. I believe in belief.
That would be Ted Lasso.
Yeah. I mean, late edition, because of how many years we have to look back on great TV coaches. But he made quite an impression.
He's made an amazing... That show's really laugh-out-loud funny. I don't even know if he's the best part of the show, But in honor of how good the show is, he's definitely on this list. Now, he did get relegated after his first year, right? I mean, like, come on. It's not like he's done great things with his team. They're not like soaring to, you know, causing great victories. But we'll put him as number five here on the list. Unlike Goldie Hawn, who, if you haven't seen the movie, I won't want to spoil it for you. You've had since 1983 to watch it. But she does win the All-City Championship at the end.
It's kind of a big deal. Maybe she does deserve number five after all for her achievements.
I've never heard of this movie until today.
Wildcats?
I also have not.
It's unbelievable. It's so funny.
Okay, if we lock you in a room, you get one choice, Die Hard or Wildcats.
It'd be a really tough choice. I'd go with Die Hard, but when I was a kid, and even now, when I'm sick, I always watch Wildcats.
All right.
If I'm not feeling well, I'll curl up in bed, turn on Wildcats every time.
Okay.
So funny. All right, now is number five, Ted Lasso. Number four, now you could debate what you think of this sport, but there's no debating he's the greatest coach in it.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What? Maybe some Patches. unconventional methods. Patches O'Houlihan is number four on our list.
Oh, yes. A movie I didn't think was funny until like the third time through. It took me a minute to warm up to that.
Didn't Patches die in that movie?
Yeah, I don't think he makes it.
Yeah.
Eh.
Sad.
I like Steve the Pirate.
Patches is a fraud.
Yeah.
Steve the Pirate's my favorite.
Arr.
Lance Armstrong cameo in that's pretty good, too.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. All right. That's
number four. He's number four on the list. Now, you may quibble with number three. I guess it depends what you determine to be the list. Is it fictional coaches ranked or coaches in a movie or TV show? Now, the actual assignment from the texter was a coach in a movie or a TV show. So,
yeah.
While this is not a fictional coach, it is a portrayal of a real coach done in a perfect way.
Bruise on the leg is a hell of a long way from the heart. Candy ass. What'd you call me?
You heard me.
You want me to play, huh? Is that what you want?
I want you to be a hockey player.
I am a hockey player. You want me to play on one leg? Huh? I'll play on one leg.
That'll get him going.
Get up.
That'll get him going.
Herb Brooks in Miracle, number three on this list. Now, there are probably folks who would put Gene Hackman there for Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm. Ahead of Herb Brooks?
Well, I think they sort of fill some of the same role. I just love Miracle. I could see. I know there are people out there who love Hoosiers. It's not one of my favorites. It's a good movie. It's not one of my favorite movies. Herb Brooks in Miracle. Well, I mean, perfect.
It's a good movie.
It's such a great portrayal of a coach.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll get him
going. I love this, the 425. I didn't even think of this as the defensive coordinator in Waterboy. The overalls guy that you can't even understand.
Oh, speaking of hillbillies, the hill person.
I love the guy who's Herb Brooks' assistant in Miracle, who's like all concerned that the guys are going to die while he's having them skip back and forth.
I hope Bud Kilmer makes this list.
Bud's not going to make the list.
Oh.
No, thought about that.
Coach from Cheers is a nomination.
Coach is a great one from Cheers for sure.
Yeah.
Coach from Coach is another Craig T. Nelson. I thought about Mystery Alaska as another possibility. Never seen Mystery Alaska?
No, I haven't seen that either.
Oh, hockey players up in Alaska? That's a good one. So there have been some options. Number two, though, all going to go to a television show. And no, it's not Coach. I think this one should be pretty obvious. Wouldn't you want to play for this guy?
Expect you boys to play football.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Can't lose!
Don't you want to play for Coach Taylor? Everybody does.
It's pretty good.
He's inspiring. He's got kind of the dad-like qualities that one commenter thinks that I have.
He deserves to be on the podium. I agree.
I'm going to put him number two.
What about Denzel? He's got to be close to that, too.
Oh, God, that's such a good one, yes.
Oh, yeah, we messed up leaving.
I would love to play for Denzel.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a good one.
Shoot.
Yeah, that's a great one.
All right.
He certainly belongs right there. It's a great answer. I would have loved to have played for him.
Missed opportunities. All right.
Now I'm rethinking this whole list. But who are you going to put him ahead of on this list? Maybe Patches or Ted Lasso?
I have an idea for number one, though. Sure.
I don't see how he could have been ahead of anybody on this list, but maybe he should have been. I would have loved to have played for him. He had a pretty big challenge ahead of him, too.
Yes, he did.
Trying to integrate the kids at that school. That's a really good answer. Yeah, probably he could have been on there. Sorry about that. That's a miss. But number one on this list, if you think that he had challenges, no one had more challenges than this guy. Everything that he had to deal with.
How would you like to manage the Indians this year?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? This is a chance to manage in the big leagues.
Let me think it over, will you, Charlie? I got a guy on the other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later.
See, poor Lou Brown, not only did he have his own issues going on in his life in Major League, his owner was trying to lose every game. He had to battle against having the worst player she could find.
Yeah.
Think about the uphill struggle, and he got those guys to come together.
Texan 757, if Lou Brown isn't number one, we riot.
Lou Brown's number one. Who would you rather play more than Lou Brown?
Maybe this guy?
Quack. Oh, jeez.
Gordon Bombay, quack. Yes. Quack.
Quack. Quack. Quack. Yep. Quack. Quack. Hard to argue, quack. Gordon Bombay.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be there at all either.
No! It is amazing how many of these coaches didn't want to be there. Is that like a thing?
That's just the formula.
The coach that doesn't really want to be there?
Get a guy that has no interest in hanging out with these people.
Herb Brooks did. He wanted to be there. That's for sure. All right, we got to go. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the divisional round of the playoffs. We'll be in Monday morning to talk all about them.
Enjoy the home course.
Yes, thank you. Stick around for Jake and Stacy. They are coming up next. Talk to you guys Monday. Goodbye.